Amen. I appreciate that, young man. I enjoy hearing them practice and sing, so amen. That's a multiple blessing there. Let's take our Bibles, please, to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Looking at the fruit of the Spirit, looking at the last one tonight, Lord willing. Galatians chapter 5. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be well with our souls. And I pray now that after we have received the Lord as our Savior, that we would walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And I pray that you would help us and guide us tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So the last fruit mentioned there in verse 23 is temperance. That's number 9. Temperance is defined by Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary as moderation in action, thought, or feeling. Restraint. Habitual moderation in the indulgence of the appetites or passions. Moderation or abstinence from the use of alcoholic beverages. So, we're told here that is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is moderation. Now, we're warned that in the last days there's not going to be a lot of moderation. Notice with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. You know, when I was a boy, I never heard of the phrase road rage. I never heard of such a thing. But it's common today. When I was a boy, I never remember seeing two drivers stop and get out and fight. But some years ago, I think my wife and I was down on East Beltline. And I don't know, somebody made somebody else mad and stopped at a red light. One guy got out of his car, went back to the other car and started punching the guy. And then so everybody thought it was going to hold up traffic. So some guys started getting out of their cars. And about that time, the light changed. The two fighting got back in their cars and was off. And that was it. Road rage. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Someone that is incontinent lacks self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So when we get in the last days, there's going to be a religion, but that has no power, no self-control. It's going to make excuses for every sin. Just like today, you see, there are professing sodomites. I mean, professing Christians that say they're sodomites. I just read a couple weeks ago about another preacher somewhere that come out, and he felt so relieved that he could finally say he was a sodomite. Well, he shouldn't be relieved because he's facing great judgment. There's no such thing as being a Christian and being a sodomite. A sodomite has a reprobate mind. God gives up that kind of a person. So, but they're making excuses today for all kinds of sin. Now, I heard that some of you dared to go out shopping on Friday. And so you probably experienced or saw some lack of moderation out there, some lack of self-restraint. Although I heard that some people thought actually the crowds were kind of down. One of the clerks at Myers said that the crowd really wasn't that bad here at Greenville, I guess. They felt that they had it covered okay and just wasn't that extreme. But But there again, if you were there, one of those maybe at 5 o'clock, maybe it was kind of extreme. I don't know. It depends on where you were, I guess. But so the fruit of the Spirit is needed today. It's moderation in action, thought, or feeling. It's restraint in some areas. Now, you know, normally when we deal with clerks at a store, normally it's not with the owner of the company. Now, maybe sometimes if it's a little mom and pop store, but there's not too many little mom and pop stores left. It seems like most of them are going to the chain, the big chain stores. But when we are dealing with someone at a store, usually it's not the owner and it's just an employee. I mean, it's just their job. And I've had employees that have said to me, they're so thankful when I exhibit or show control. And sometimes things are frustrating. When we was having trouble getting our website working, it was very frustrating. And the service techs with the company we're with now have been very helpful. But one of them was just telling me, he was just saying, well, you know, it's like somewhere out there, things are having trouble switching. He said, going to the new host for the website, and it's just not getting clear through to us. And there was one point when he tried to ping our computer. You might be familiar with ping pong. I don't know if that has anything to do with this, but he tried to ping our computer, and then he gave me some instructions to ping his computer, and we couldn't get between each other. Someone out there on the railroad wasn't pulling the switch, okay, somewhere, and is going the wrong direction. He tried to get to me, and they were sending him to Sacramento or someplace, and I was trying to get to him, and they were sending me to Atlanta or somewhere. I don't know, but we couldn't make connection, and it was frustrating. But at times like that, we need to show forth this fruit of the Spirit, moderation, restraint, self-control. And there are things that are happening in our nation that are really testing our patience as Christians. Notice with me in Psalm chapter 9. I've been reading in the book of Isaiah, and I see so much the exact same things in America. And I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if we're going to turn or, well, sometimes the street preachers preach turn or burn. Well, that might happen to us as a nation. We need to either turn to the Lord or we may burn. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into where? Hell. And all the who? The nations that forget God. Well, I mean, we for a large part, we have forgotten God in our nation. We have forgotten him, and it's showing. We're no longer, Deuteronomy, we're no longer the head, we're the tail. You know, there's other countries controlling us. Other countries buy up our debt. Although recently, I guess we decided to buy up our own debt, which devalues our dollar more and only gets us in more trouble. But it's so hard to see the course our nation is taking. Notice with me, please, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It's so difficult to see what's happening in high places in our nation. And we were a little encouraged by the elections, and Lord willing, in January, we pray that things get going on a different track. But we need to pray much. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 5:8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Now, we are seeing that in the middle of the verse, a perverting of judgment and justice in a province. I mean, we have billionaires in our country that are trying to influence the vote. Whether they're trying to influence our president or our congressmen and senators, or whether they're trying to dabble in voter fraud. Out in Nevada, I believe it was in this last election, some people found that, well, this is convenient. The ballot's already marked. Oh, well, Well, that's nice. I guess I don't have to mark it then. So voter fraud, it used to be we worried about that in third world countries. You know, we'd send President Carter or somebody down there to make sure they obeyed, you know. But now, who's going to watch us? Who's going to watch our dangling chads or whatever it was in Florida and whatever else goes on? Boy, it's really, we've kind of gone to Chicago-style politics, is what I hear. And that kind of has a bad reputation, Chicago politics. So I'm kind of concerned about the way the voting is going in our own country. Out west there in Nevada, I believe it was, all the polls they were taking showed a very close race. But for some reason, when the vote came in, it was really heavy for one candidate. And just so happens, his was the name on some ballots was already checked. Sure, it's just a coincidence, but we need to pray much for what's happening in high places. I can recall when we was trying to sell the old church building, and we was trying to get it rezoned so it would be in a different bracket so we could sell it for more money. And so we were dealing with the city council in regard to that, and there was a wealthy man who owned property right by the church. And so I called him and said, you know, this is what we would like to do. We'd like to get the church building rezoned to this. And I was just wondering if you had any problems with it, because I knew he had a lot of clout downtown. And he says, no, that's fine. That's okay. So I get downtown to the meeting, and they give me the chance to speak. So I tell them a little bit what we'd like to see done to be rezoned. And I happen to mention this man's name that, you know, I talked to him, and he was in full approval of it. Well, after I sat down, this guy got up and really said the exact opposite. He said he didn't remember it or see it that way at all, that he had approved of it. And I mean, here's this guy who's been around town a long time, very wealthy, and basically he's standing up calling me a liar. Wow, moderation. Lord, help me. I mean, in those situations, it'd be so easy to stand up. I don't know if the cameras was on me. I'm sure they were on him, but I don't know if my jaw was dropped a little bit, but I could hardly believe it. I turned and looked at the guy, and I could hardly believe the words coming out of his mouth. And there was no sense standing up, making a scene. That had not only ruined my Christian testimony, but who would believe me over him? And so he said his piece, and but I think he kind of showed his colors, because he's very wealthy. He was very wealthy. He's no longer alive, but very wealthy. And at the end, he said kind of angrily, he said, the only reason they want to change the zoning is so they can get more money out of their building. And I think that was kind of understood. And it wasn't too many months before that he had gone to the city council, because he owned a business, a large business, and you know, the city had granted tax exemption for some of these new places coming in, whether it was, well, I think way back, like when Kmart came in, you know, to lure them in, they offered them maybe, 10 years, no taxes or whatever, or a greatly reduced rate. So they were offering this to all the big chains, and so this man was a local businessman. And, you know, he thought, well, hey, if you can do that for the big chains to get them into town, you know, I think you ought to give us local people, local business owners, a tax break too. Well, you know what? The city did it for him. So when he blurted out, you know, Liberty Baptist Church only wants their zoning changed so they can get more money out of their building, I think everyone there knew that was the whole point. But it kind of showed his colors, because they had approved his tax lessening rate. So anyway, right after the meeting, the Daily News wanted a word with me. And I just said, you know, I don't think it'd be wise to comment. You know, we'll just wait to see what the city council decides when they decide. And so, but it would have been real easy in that situation to stand up and say, you're the one lying. You know, we could be like kindergartners there. You know, you lied. No, you lied. No, you lied. That wouldn't get anywhere. I could have said that to the Daily News. I could have said his name, and he is lying. He told me on the phone this, and he got there and said that. You know what? That would have only hurt my reputation, not his. And so we need to exercise restraint and moderation. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, through the whole thing, the Daily News treated us very kindly. And one thing you don't want to get on the bad side of is the news. I mean, they always have the last word, and most of the time it's liberals, and you just don't want to get in the middle of a firestorm because they'll make you look bad. But that whole situation reminds me of Psalm 49. Psalm 49. And you know what? In the end, the city did change our zoning a little bit, not as commercial as we would have liked it, but they changed it a little bit. But you know what? It didn't matter because a man bought it, and the Lord, he took care of it. It didn't matter. So Psalm 49, it made me think of these verses here. Verse 16, Psalm 49, 16. Be not thou afraid when one is made, what? Rich. When the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall what? Carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. You know what? That man left all of his millions. Didn't take a penny with him in the grave. He's gone now. He's gone. So we need to exercise moderation. God will take care of people. God will take care of people. So whether it's on the local scene that we have to exhibit moderation, restraint, not get angry, or whether it's on the national scene, a judge or a former judge recently was asked, what's your recommendation to people? And let's see, what did he say? Guns and something else. Well, I guess he's ready to start a revolution. I may come to that, but it shouldn't be us as Christians provoking a revolution. It might come in America, but what we need to do is keep in sight the real picture that's going on. Notice with me in Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and verse 12. There is something powerful going on behind the scenes. Now, someone has talked about our president, whether he's the Antichrist or not, but our president is married. But I don't know. The Antichrist will receive a deadly wound that is healed in the head. Did you hear the news? So I don't know. We might have to rethink that. I'm not sure. Revelation 17, verse 12. Revelation 17, verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto who? The beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So what we're seeing in this is that battle between the one world government and the one world church. And it's going to come. Right now, the one world church is in a relationship with the one world government. I mean, the one world church is all set on they're the green church. I mean, the liberal church is green. I mean, they're for anything like that. You know, cap and trade, any crazy thing. They're for. And they're going to remain that until in the tribulation period, and then there's going to come a falling out between the one world church and the one world government. But verse 17 there, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. And so that's what is so hard for us. I mean, we're Christians, but we're patriotic Americans. And it's hard for us to see our country start to give itself over to a one-world system. Whether it's signing a cap and trade, saying, okay, some world organization will tell us how many factories we can have, how much fuel we can use, how much electricity we can use. When our previous president was in, that there were plans underway to put a superhighway from Mexico up into Canada, and that we would not have control over it. It's just kind of a one-continent freeway, you know, no customs at the borders. And so, you know, we see things like that, and we want to say, hey, doesn't anyone realize what's going on? And yet we realize that in the scripture, it tells us that this one world government is coming, and we see it so much. And so these leaders, and it's so hard for us to understand as patriotic Americans, how could anyone sell us out? How could anyone sell our country's sovereignty out? It's hard for us to fathom, and yet we know eventually that is exactly what is going to come. These kings of the earth are going to give their power to the beast. They're going to turn it all over. And so it'll happen eventually. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6. As we see these things happen, of course, we should pray. And as much as we have as citizens of America, sure, we should fight, not with guns, at least not at this point. You know, if there's a revolution, you'll have to decide which side you take. It had to be difficult in our country when the colonists decided to fight the British. I mean, you might be fighting some of your own kin. It had to be that way when the Civil War took place. A lot of people were fighting their own kin. I suppose especially the closer you got to the line. A family fighting against family. Cousins shooting at cousins. That would have been hard. Extremely hard. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? The Lord. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we've got to show forth this fruit of the Spirit, moderation. We just can't, there was a time when the Michigan militia was a real big thing. And of course, some of them were involved, I guess, with the Timothy McVeigh thing and the bombings out in Oklahoma City. And so as Christians, and I've gotten letters from preachers who are getting involved in a patriotic movement. What our country needs is a spiritual awakening, a spiritual revival. The Constitution may be a good Constitution because it's biblically based, but The Constitution is not inspired by God, but His Word is. And so we need to stand upon the Word of God. So we need to show moderation locally. We need to show it nationally. Need to show it on our jobs. Remember, temperance, moderation in action, thought, or feeling, restraint. Remember this. Whatever we say on our job to someone else, whatever we say to a coworker on the job will be repeated. You know, someone comes along and grumbles to us, and we say, yeah, blah, 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 I agree. Do you know what that person is going to say to the next person? They're not going to say, speaking of themselves, they're not going to say, yeah, I don't like the way things are going. You know what they're going to say? They're going to use your name. They're going to say, you know what? Your name. He doesn't like what's going on here. They mark it down. That's the way it goes. Someone who comes along complaining to you about things, when they pass it on, if you comment, they're going to use your comment. Notice in Daniel chapter 6. So we have to be wise. We have to be careful, because that's what people do. That's what disgruntled people do. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was what? Preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent what? Spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. You know what happens on the job when you're doing real well? Well, other people get jealous. They want your position. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor what? Fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know what these guys were doing? They were talking to Daniel, and they were watching him like a hawk. They were trying to get him to say something or do something wrong. It's like with Jesus. They tried to urge him, to provoke him to say wrong things. And so we have to be so careful. On the job, we have to show moderation, because there will be Satan's henchmen that will come along and try to make our name mud. But they couldn't with Daniel. He showed that moderation. He showed that restraint. And once again, these people, you know, didn't stop. And so, verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So, that's what they did. And then verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he what? Did aforetime. So Daniel just continued on. This was his normal procedure, three times a day, opened his window toward Jerusalem and prayed. He didn't change. He knew the law was against him now, but he stood by it. And of course, you know the story. He's thrown in the lion's den. But you also know the story that God protected him. And verse 18, the king is upset by what he's been swindled into this, making this decree, and he knows it now. Verse 19, he goes early in the morning to see what happened. Verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And the king knew that. The king knew it. So, verse 23, the king's glad. Verse 24, the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. So, now the king makes a decree in verse 26 about God's, Daniel's God. So, whether it's locally, whether it's vocationally on our job, whether it's nationally, we need, and let's go back to Galatians 5 in closing, we need, just because this fruit of the Spirit is last, doesn't mean it's not important. It is important. We need that moderation. Galatians 5:22, once again, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We need that temperance. We need to be under control. And we need to have an impact upon the people. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us. Lord, there are so many times where it's so easy to be provoked. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to be that way. And I pray that you would help us first and foremost to not do anything that would bring reproach upon your name. And then, Lord, we think of our own names, just how we can hurt our own names, our own family, our spouses, our children, our other relatives, if we do something foolish and make our name a bad name. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful. Help us to show this temperance, this moderation, this control, self-control, this restraint. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.